Come on up for the rising. Come on up. Lay your hand in.
Thank you for listening to the Rising Sermon Archive. We hope you're blessed by today's sermon. For more information about the Rising, or to find more sermons like this, please visit therisingcommunity.com.
I really believe the Holy Spirit has dropped a word in my spirit for the Rising as a whole and for many individuals here at the Rising, that it would be a specific word for you and for your life, that despite the circumstances, despite the seemingly endless trials of 2013, despite the disappointments, despite the battles, and even despite the pain, I believe that 2014, for many of you in here, listen, will be the year of the comeback. That somehow, you're going to make a comeback. That you're going to rise. There's going to be a rising that takes place in you. That as the Rising as a whole is rising up as a body and as a community and writing its story, some of you will simultaneously are going to experience the same kind of comeback, the same kind of rising in your individual life. 2014, the year of the comeback. Let's begin by looking at a few scriptures this morning. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's look at that first. Genesis 3:15. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now go down to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. Genesis 4, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Go back to Genesis 3:15. I want to read that one more time. It says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15 is telling us, it's prophesying to us, that the seed of the woman will rise up and bruise the head of the serpent, and then the serpent will bruise his heel. Now, we know the story in Genesis, church, that Eve has violated the command of God and has partaken of the forbidden fruit, and according to the scriptures, it says she was deceived. Now, what that means, church, is that when it says she was deceived, what that means, church, it means that she did not willingly betray the Lord. Watch. She thought she was doing something good, and it turned out bad. Church, how many of us in here have ever been in the position where we thought we were doing something good, and it turned out bad? Somebody talk to me this morning. Who said me? That was a quick response of me. But how many of us honestly have ever been in that position where we thought we were doing something good and it turned out bad? Have you ever made a mistake that absolutely changed the course of your life? You got to realize, just one mistake can change the course of your life. Marrying the wrong person can change the course of your life. Getting involved with the wrong people, bad decisions, bad judgment, not thinking about the ramifications or the consequences of the decisions you make. You've got to realize that just one crucial mistake can change everything. And church, that's what happened here in Genesis, in the garden. They thought they were doing something right, and it turned out all wrong. Adam and Eve partake of the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all hell breaks loose. And the fall takes place. And as we found out in a previous message, Adam was right there with Eve. And even though he knew the command of God, he was silent and didn't say a word and partook with Eve. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that the fall basically rests on Adam's shoulders. So God comes and tells them that the seed of the woman will rise up and bruise the head of the serpent. In other words, God is saying to them, look, he's saying, look, all is not lost. This is your chance for redemption. This is your chance for restoration. This is your chance for a new beginning. This is your chance for a comeback. Your retaliation, he's telling them, will come through your womb. Your vindication, watch, your vindication will come through that which you produce yourself. You have something within you. God is telling her, you have something within you that can make things right. The seed of the woman will rise up and bruise the head of the serpent. That means, church, from Eve forward, and I've told you this before, what the mentality of the Old Testament is. From Eve forward, every woman believed that she was going to birth something that was going to destroy the enemy. There was an expectation. This is why Eve, when she had her first son Cain, you notice what she said. She says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. See, she's thinking perhaps this might be the Messiah that is going to redeem me. Perhaps this is the one. And then it says again, she bare another son and birthed another son and called his name Abel. Now look at her expectation because of the prophecy. Her expectation was that every time she pushed a seed out of her body, she was looking for the return of the Messiah, anticipating birthing something that would destroy the thing that was destroying her. Are you with me? And I've said this to you before, and I'm going to say it again. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that even though this is a messianic prophecy to the woman, in the broader sense, in 2014, male and female, I would challenge you to understand this, that God has put dreams and visions down inside of you, and if you can bring them to fruition, God will deliver you through what you birth. See, you keep waiting on God to deliver you or through somebody on the outside of you. When the promise to the woman is that God is going to deliver you through something inside of you, not something outside of you. You would be shocked at what God has placed down inside of you. That if you, listen, if you can go through the labor and go through the trials, and go through the test, and birth it out, there's something in you that will deliver you. Church, if you don't believe Eve, ask Moses' mother. If she didn't birth a child that delivered her from the Pharaoh that oppressed her. And every person in here, every believer in here, male and female, ought to be pregnant with the possibilities and the potential of producing your own deliverances in your belly. Jesus said it, church. He said, if you believe on me, as the scriptures have said, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. My God, the problem in the church today is too many people are looking for the gift to come from the outside. They're looking for the blessing to come from the outside. They're looking for deliverance to come from the outside. But God will empower you and impregnate you with possibilities and dreams and ideas. And church, I dare you to have the faith and the guts and the stick-to-itiveness to push out of you what God has put inside you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's something kicking inside of me. Come on, say it again. There's something kicking inside of me. Church, even when I want to quit, even when I want to collapse, even when I want to feel sorry for myself, even when I get tired of life and people and storms and tests and trials, thank God there's something kicking inside of me. A hope down in the city of my soul. Church, a passion, a fire, a flame that's unquenchable. Something inside me demanding that I push ahead. Glory to God. Amen? Eve says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She says, I'm looking for something to be birthed out of me that came from God. Now understand this. And let me just deviate a little here to give you some understanding for a second. Understand this, that the capacity that the woman has to birth something, this capacity that the woman has to birth something or push something out of her, so it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Understand this. That is why the woman or the female is more inclined to pray or to be what we call in the body of Christ a prayer warrior. She's more inclined or more apt to that. She's more apt to be a worshiper. Why? Because a woman gives birth. She pushes something out of her. Now, it doesn't mean the male shouldn't pray or be a prayer warrior or shouldn't worship. It doesn't mean that. It just means there's something in the woman that makes her more apt or inclined to move in that direction because she's trying to push something out of her. So it is in the natural. So it is in the spiritual. See, the male doesn't have that type of capacity or physical attribute to push something out of them. All we can push out is a bowel movement. Poop, that's what we push out. Okay? Some of us can't even do that. But watch, the male, our physicality as males is more, watch, is more to mold and shape that which is birthed and pushed out. So our prayer and worship will be geared more toward molding and shaping that which is birthed. You get that? So watch, when you combine the prayer and the worship of the male and the female, it is a display, it is a picture of the full character of God, of the full image of God. Let's get back to the prophecy. So the woman, because of the prophecy, she has an expectation that she is going to birth something that will deliver her and bring redemption to the fall for all. Now, can you imagine how she approached the first pregnancy? She must have been thinking, oh, we're going to make this right. We're going to settle the score. We're going to get back what we lost. And we read at the beginning of chapter 4, it says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Now, there were two sons, Cain and Abel. So here we see a family is formed, and Eve is expecting vindication because the prophecy in Genesis 3:15 is a messianic prophecy. It predicts the coming of Jesus Christ. But watch, Eve does not know that she's not the woman that will produce the seed that will bruise the head of the serpent. But she is expecting to produce something. And she had two sons, Cain and Abel. This is her seed. The seed of the woman is going to rise up and bruise the head of the serpent. And she has two sons, and she doesn't know which one it's going to be. I mean, she's thinking, well, is it going to be Cain? Is it going to be Abel? One of my sons, this is her expectation, one of my sons is going to set things right. So she's optimistic. She's hopeful. There's an anticipation of something good happening. There's an anticipation of restoration. So they teach their sons to pray. They teach them to worship. They teach them to seek God. If you read the story, they obviously taught their sons something about blood sacrifice for sin. If you read the story, you'll see that. They are a family. So we've got the first woman with the first man, the first family. Now, you have to understand something because this is important. This is very important. Adam and Eve were born grown. You get that? Adam and Eve were born grown without the privilege of seeing someone in the role they are in. You got to understand that. They are born grown. They don't get the benefit of role models or good examples or counsel from others who have been through the same things. They don't have the benefit of a slow, progressive knowledge. Boom, you're grown. You're in the garden. You get that? Everything happened fast, and you're just there. You're just there. You're grown. And you have to be responsible and stable and keep it together. There are situations and circumstances in your life that erupt in your life, and you just sit back and say, I have no one to show me. I have no one to model after. I have no example. I've got no counsel. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to act or move in this situation. I've got no framework for it or frame of reference for the situation I'm in. I've got no one to follow. No one modeled it for me. I've talked to so many young people who've had to grow up too fast. They had to be the parent in the home because everybody else was dysfunctional and you just grow up too fast. You're not meant to have that role as a boy or a girl or a teenager. That's not your role. But they were forced into that role just to survive and just to be able to live in that dysfunctional environment. So understand, Adam and Eve are born grown. And she is expecting the best. She is waiting for a chance to set the record straight. Because when you have messed up, you seem to live with a cloud over your head. And you want to do something to prove to somebody that you do have worth and you do have value. And she has these sons, and she is expecting the best. So there are two sons out there in the field. Abel is tending the flock. Cain is plowing the field, and things are going good. Things are going good. But in them, watch, in them, in their DNA, they have inherited the sin nature of their parents. Ooh, and one of the problems with raising children, you ready for this? Is that you're fighting your own genes. You want them to be perfect, but they have you in them. Oh, I wish I had time to fool with that a little bit. You get me? Well, that's another lesson. I have to fool with that sometime. You want them to be perfect, but they have you in them. If Adam would have had a son before the fall, it would have been a different story. It would have been heaven on earth. A generation of regenerated people on the earth progressively moving forward. But Adam had his first child after the fall, so sin is passed not in behavior but in genetics. So we have a mess. So they are serving God. They are trying to make the best of a less than perfect situation. And through all of this, Eve has to have the prophecy in the back of her mind that something good is going to come out of her. Now, church, the thing I love about the Bible is that the Bible does not hold back or pull any punches when it tells the story of the first family. So the Bible is so real. I mean, Christians are phony, but the Bible is real. Christians give you the censored PG synopsis of who they are. But the Bible gives you the down and dirty details of what goes on in the human condition and in human behavior. Mm-hmm. And we get the real picture of the first family. Now, I've taught you before in previous message. I taught you the symbolism and the types and shadows of what Cain represents and what Abel represents. All the types and shadows that are here in this story. How Cain represents religion. He is a tiller of the ground. It is a picture of man trying to please God through his own efforts. And how Abel is a picture of Jesus Christ, a snapshot of redemption. We've gone over all that here at The Rising. But church, there's more to the story. This is a real life story. And as important as it is to understand all the symbolism and the types and shadows, as important as that is, understand underneath all that, there is a real life story here. Cain murders Abel, his brother. Now, it's one thing for your kids to just have a fight. It's another thing for your kids to kill each other. We haven't even got this thing off the ground yet, God. And now we have a disaster. Now, this is the first family story. But I'm not just talking about the first family this morning. I'm talking about you and the things that you hope for and expect. I'm talking about you. And you just get it started. You seem to just get it off the ground and just get it going, and all of a sudden you have a disaster. Life seems to have a way of slapping you in the head or being unpredictable or taking an unexpected twist and turn, and you expect something to go one way and boom, it goes another way. Can you imagine what Eve felt like when she got the word that she had lost both of her sons? I mean, she just didn't lose Abel. She lost Cain also, because Cain is sent away for the murder with a curse on his head. He's gone. He's not the one. He's gone away to the land of Nod. All hope is gone for him. It's over. And Abel, he's dead. And his blood seeped down into the ground and starts screaming. And the screaming of his blood could not cover up the screams of Eve's heart as her hopes were shattered. Listen to me. Listen to me. At least once in your life, at least once. It might be more than once, but at least once in your life, you will go through something that crushes you and makes you think all you ever hoped for, everything you ever believed, everything you've ever been taught, that everything you've ever dreamed, that it was a lie because it didn't come true. At least once in your life, you're going to question your own faith and your own belief system. At least once in your life, your dreams will be shattered so severely that all hope seems to be gone. They're the first family, church. It's not like they can go down the street and get some counseling. They're the first family. They are alone. They are alone in the situation. Have you ever felt alone in your situation? Like an outcast, wondering if there's anybody else that feels like you or that can relate to you with what you've gone through without giving you spiritual platitudes or the party line. Adam and Eve are in this situation by themselves, and they have a mess. Cain is running wild, or running like a wild animal through the woods, and they're lowering Abel's body into the ground. And the first death was a murder in the first family by her own body. Her kids killed each other. This is about as bad as it gets. When one of your kids is on death row for killing the other one. Now, here's the nagging issue. God has given her a prophecy. Listen. God has given her a prophecy that does not match her situation. And if her situation is all it's ever going to be, then God lied. Because something is supposed to come out of her that is going to set things straight, that's going to bring redemption to the fall. And what came out of her so far has been a mess, a failure. Church, what do you do? What do you do when you've tried and failed and you want to quit? And you want to give up because trying again, getting up again and trying again means hurting again. Getting up again and trying again means taking a risk again. It means stepping out again. It means believing again. It means hoping again. It means dreaming again. As hard as it was for Eve to go through the labor to conceive those two boys, I bet you labor pains are nothing compared to this pain, burying pain. It doesn't hurt nearly as much to birth them as it does to bury them. She birthed two. She buried one, and you might as well say she buried the other one. But there's this nagging problem. The prophecy and the situation doesn't match. This is not how the story is supposed to end. I'm about to say something. I don't know why I'm even saying it. And I don't know who this is for. But I want to tell you that what you're going through right now, I don't know who this is for, but what you're going through right now is not how the story's supposed to end. You know deep down inside something is missing out of your life. Something is not lining up. What do you do when something is missing out of your life and the things that replaced it do not compensate for what you lost? What do you do? Let's go to chapter 4. Look at verse 25. Let's go down further. Cain and Abel are gone. In verse 25, it says, Adam, watch what it says, knew his wife, Eve, again. What do you do when you tried and fell and you want to quit and God says, go back in there and do it again? Adam knew his wife again. I don't know who this is for. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know how bad it hurt you, but something on the inside of you died in the process, and you're a shell of what you would have been, what you could have been, what you ought to have been, because life has cost you so much that you're now working with a deficit, you're working with a handicap. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is saying to you this morning, it's time for a comeback. Do it again. Adam knew his wife again. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed in the stead of Abel, whom Cain slew. I'm going to call that verse divine replacement. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. God says, I'm going to restore and do a supernatural restoration and replace that empty place in your heart. I'm going to put something back in there in place of what life took out. Adam knew his wife again. Somebody say again. Say again. Look at your neighbor and say, do it again. Tell your neighbor it's time for a comeback. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God said, she hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Somehow, Seth, bearing his son, restores a connection somehow between the woman's dream and the prophecy. It was severed, it was cut. The hope of restoration was vanished with the tragedy of Cain and Abel. It seems like they were beaten and bruised and shattered. But here is God restoring back the chance that was lost when he says to Adam and Eve, do it again. Do it again. And Adam knew his wife again. Now you got to get this. Here's the thing. You got to get this. When it says, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Do you know that it's through the line of Enos that Christ will come? It's through that line. Do you know it's through that line that priestly service will begin? It's through that line now that God will always have a representative in the earth. Now watch. It was not through their first try. All that Christ would come through would be born of a failed family's second attempt. You get that? Now, I'm going to tell you something, church. I'm going to tell you this. God doesn't wait on better material. He doesn't wait on a more obedient person. He doesn't wait on somebody who has a past that was cleaner or more righteous or more holy. He says, I'm going to use somebody who betrayed me and disobeyed me and let me down, and I'm still going to use them anyway. And all that Christ did on the earth, he did it through somebody who had fallen down and gotten back up again. Amen? This is the year of the comeback. The Holy Spirit is going to whisper in your ear, listen, he's going to whisper in your ear, do it again. And Adam knew his wife again. Church, that's why I can't fool with people who act like they never did anything wrong. I can't be bothered with. I can't fool with them. They make me nervous, actually. They make me really nervous. I don't believe them, by the way. Because you know why I don't believe them? Because I see it over and over again. I see God using people who blew it, who messed up, who failed, who faltered, who floundered, and just when they were ready to say, I'm no good, there's nothing to me, there's nothing to God, there's nothing to church, there's nothing to life, the Holy Ghost looks them in the face and says, do it again. It's time for a comeback. I declare to you this morning that no matter what state you find yourself in, this is the year of the comeback. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Angel used to sing a song here all the time. I'm going to ask our music team if they come back and close. Angel used to sing a song here all the time, and it went like this. You may not know how, you may not know when, but he'll do it again. Amen? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a clap. Come on, bow your heads with me. I just believe that in every way, my prayer for you is that this would be the year of the comeback for you. Father, help us to hear the Holy Spirit's whisper to get up and do it again. Get up and do it again. It's time for a comeback. Father, I just pray that throughout this year that we are going to hear stories of great comebacks, stories of rising, stories of something rising up in the people of God, and us going forward, Lord, us going forward to really be a blessing to your kingdom and a blessing to each other. Father, I just thank you in advance for all the comebacks that are going to be experienced in this body here at The Rising. Lord, we ask you that we would all continue to grow together in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give all the glory to you this morning and ask you all these things in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Amen. The year of the comeback. Come on, give God a hand as we close in song.